لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Before beginning, I would just like to elaborate for 1 minute, inshallah, on what our brother said concerning the people who sat on the walls and perimeters of the masjid. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam was traveling with some of his companions on an expedition. And when they stopped in the middle of the journey, part of them went to the right, the other part went to the left, some people went in front, and some people stayed behind. So when the Messenger noticed that his companions were split up in different areas, he said to them, Mali arakum aizin, Mali arakum aizin, inna tafarriqukum hadha min ash-shaytan. He said to them, what is wrong with me that I see you people split up and divided amongst yourselves? Some people over here, some people over there. So the narrator of the hadith said, after he said that to us, we never came in an assembly except that we would all come together and we would try to be as close as possible in our assembly. So when the brother said what he said, no doubt this is from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we say to the Muslims over and over again, ikhwan, what al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought and taught, and it is our life. So we should try our best, inshaAllah ta'ala, especially those places where, if we could, I'd like to come and sit with the speakers, we're rewarded and blessed, inshaAllah, for our efforts. In the last lessons that we gave, particularly the first and the second lessons, in the first one we talked about the special characteristics of al-Islam, and how al-Islam, the religion of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and the deen al-haq, has certain characteristics that no other way of life shares with in the religion of Islam with. And in talking about those special characteristics, we try to emphasize on those points that showed us the tremendous favors of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala upon us as an ummah. And then after that lesson, we talked about the special characteristics of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And in talking about those special characteristics, we had impressed upon the brothers, the sisters, the importance of taking the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to those who do not know that message, making the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam known to those people who don't know. But verily, just as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given us life through him, Allah has not given us life because of him. Allah has given us life through him, in that we were astray, and then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala guided us by the guidance of the sunnah of his messenger, as he says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. Oh, you who believe, answer the call of Allah and the call of His Messenger to that which will give you life. What is that which will give you life? The Quran and the Sunnah. So in talking about His special characteristics, Ikhwan, we also touched upon a few issues in which we saw that He's not the only prophet special character. Other prophets of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala who have been blessed with strength. And this is indicative of the hadith that we talked about in the past of the great intercession, or the shafa'at al-udhma, when the people go to Adam, and they say to Adam, you're the father of mankind. Allah created you with his hand, and he caused the angels to bow down to you, and he taught you the names of everything. These are special characteristics of Adam that not even our Prophet shares with Adam in these things. And then Adam said, go to Noah, for verily he was the first messenger sent to the people. This is the special characteristic of Noah. And then Noah said, go to Ibrahim, whose special characteristic was that he was Khalil Allah, as Allah tells us in the Quran. He says, go to Musa. Musa had many special characteristics, one of the most important of which is when the angel of death came to claim the life, to take the soul, to punch him in the eye. And then he went back to him, but he's not ready to come. A special characteristic in that, his life was extended. And then Isa ibn Maryam, the only prophet of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, who talked in the cradle. One of the special characteristics of Isa is that he is known as the kalima of Allah, the word of Allah, the ruh from Allah. And then of course our messenger and the characteristics that we talked about. So we see many of the prophets had characteristics. But tonight inshaAllah ta'ala ikhwan, we're going to talk about those characteristics that all of the prophets and all of the messengers, they all share in this characteristic. And there are no other human beings who share with them in these characteristics. And as we said before, in order for us to establish these facts, of course we can't say anything based upon our own whims and our own understanding. We have to have proof from the Quran and the Sunnah. So with that being the case, ikhwan, when we read the Quran and the Sunnah, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in the authentic hadith, نَحْنُ مَعَاشَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ أَوْلَادْ عَلَّاتْ وَدِينُنَا وَاحِدْ. We group of prophets are people who have the same father, but our mothers are different, and our religion is one. Allah Ta'ala tells us in another ayat of the Quran, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونِي. Verily, this ummah of yours is one ummah, and I am your Lord, so worship me alone. This helps us to understand that all of the prophets and the people who believed and followed them were Muslims. How many times in the Quran do the Jews or the Christians who believed in Isa and Musa say, فَاشْهَدْ إِنَّنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Bear witness, verily we are from the Muslimin, the Muslims. So their deen is one. Their fathers are one in that he's Adam, but their mothers are different. So the Muslim respects and he loves all the messengers and the prophets of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now, in dealing with these special characteristics, inshaAllah ta'ala, we'll begin again supporting our claim with the Quran and the Sunnah. Proofs from the Book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of His Messenger. But verily, it's not befitting for the Muslim to come to any conclusion about any particular issue except that he's able to support what he's believing in with the Quran and with the Sunnah. This is our life. And this is our death. We have to be different from the people who went before us. We cannot put forth our views based upon anything other than that. Because if we do, we know that we are from those who have gone astray. The first characteristic, inshallah, that we're going to talk about is the fact that all of the prophets and all of the messengers were people who did not allow their communities or their relatives to inherit what they left behind from money. Any property or monies that were left behind and was actually there is not permissible in any of their religions, in any of their sharia or legislation, that their offspring that their wives, that their relatives were allowed to inherit from them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has told us in the authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. And whenever the Muslim hears that al-Bukhari and Muslim have agreed about a particular hadith, then he has no doubt as to the authenticity of that hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, نَحْنُ مَعَاشِرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ لَا نُوَرِّثُ. We, the group of prophets, do not leave inheritance. We are not inherited from. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, لَا نُوَرِّخْ مَا تَرَكْنَا صَدَقَ. We do not inherit. We do not allow people to inherit from us. What we leave behind is sadaqah. This is a very important issue, ikhwan, because we have, when the Prophet died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, when he became the Khalifa, Fatima al-Zahra, radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she came to Abu Bakr, who was the Khalifa, and she said, I want to take the inheritance of my father, what he left behind. He has camels. He has things that he possessed. I want to take it, for verily it is my inheritance. Abu Bakr, upon hearing this, said to her that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam say, we, the group of prophets, do not, you are not allowed to inherit from us. And in that majlis, or that assembly, were many, many sahabas, because it was right after the death of the Prophet. So Fatima, who came in front of all these sahabas, she made her claim. And Abu Bakr made his statement in front of all of the sahabas. And she went away. After knowing this, ikhwan, and after knowing that many of the sahabas, like Abu Bakr, heard this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is it befitting after that for us to believe the claim of the people who are Shiites, who say that Abu Bakr and the rest of the Sahabas conspired not to give the inheritance of the Prophet of Fatima? Of course not. Of course not. One of the claims that they make, of the many claims, it's not enough that they say that the Sahabas conspire not to allow Ali to be the Khalifa. That the Sahabas conspired amongst themselves to take out 3/3 of the Quran and to put it behind their backs like the Jews. Our mother Aisha, who was the most beloved wife of the Prophet, said about Fatima, there was no one from amongst his companions or family who resembled him and looked like him more than his daughter Fatima. When you see Fatima, you see her father. That's what Aisha said, because Aisha loved Fatima, and Fatima loved Aisha. So we have no less than 13 companions narrating to us the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we prophets do not allow people to inherit from us. We have nothing to inherit from. If you want to inherit from us, you only can inherit one thing. As he told us in the authentic hadith, نَحْنُ مَعْشِرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ لَا نُوَرِّثْ إِنَّمَا نُوَرِّثَ الْعِلْمِ فَمَنْ أَخَذُهُ أَخَذَ بِحَفْظٍ وَافِرٍ. The Prophet ﷺ said, we group of prophets, it is not allowed to inherit from us. We do not leave behind a dirham or a dinar, but we leave behind knowledge. So if someone takes that knowledge, he has taken a great portion. For that reason, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he went to the souq, and he saw the people who buy and trade in the souq, as many of us buy and trade in the souq, the marketplace, he said to the Muslims, oh you Muslims, what is wrong with you people that you stay in the marketplace while the inheritance of the Messenger of Allah is being divided in the masjid? Upon hearing that, the people ran to the masjid to get their portion. When they got to the masjid, they didn't find anything other than people reading the Quran, people making salah, people sitting in the lesson, people making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Abu Huraira was met by them in the marketplace, he said, what did you people find there? They said, we only find people reading the Quran and making the dhikr and making salah and sitting in the lesson. He said, that is the inheritance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now that we come out now, inshaAllah ta'ala, I give you brothers glad tidings of the portion in which you're taking tonight, inshaAllah. For those of us who have sincerity, I give you glad tidings of this portion from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his inheritance. So it's an honor, no doubt, for the Muslim to be afforded the opportunity to say, tonight I inherited from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved of the creation of Allah. There's another point that's worthwhile mentioning, ikhwan. And that is in the Quran, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us in one of the ayahs in the Quran, وَوَرَثَ سُلَيْمَانُ دَاوُودَ. And Sulaiman inherited from Dawood. And in another ayah of the Quran, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us about Zakariya and how he was asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to bless him with someone who would inherit from him. And he said in this ayah, وَحَبْلِ مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيٍ يَرِثَنِي. O my Lord, give me one from you, a child from you, who will inherit from me. This inheritance, it is with the ittifaq, or the total agreement and consensus of those people who get the tafsir of the Quran. Ibn Kathir, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, Al-Qurtubi, all of the Imams who are famous for giving the tafsir of the Quran are in agreement that these ayats mean that they inherited from their fathers who were prophets as well, knowledge. So there's no contradiction between the hadith and the ayats, as some of the mustashriqun will have you to believe. The Orientalists. When they meet the Muslim, they try to take these type of examples. Muhammad said in the hadith, he doesn't inherit. And then in the Quran, it says that these prophets inherited from one another. The thing that they inherited was knowledge, as the other hadith clearly show, in which we talked about. Another one of the special characteristics of the prophets, that no one else from Allah's creation, in terms of the men and the women, share with them in, is the fact that all of the prophets, ikhwan, to the exception of all other human beings, have more trials and tribulations than anyone else. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً لِلْأَنْبِيَاءِ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فالأمثل يبتلى الرجل على حسب دينه فإن كان في دينه صلبا كان جلاؤه الشديد وإن كان في دينه رقا ابتلي على حسب دينه. Verily, the people who have the most trials and tribulations, the most difficult trials and tribulations, are the prophets, and then the people according to their religion after that. Verily, if a man's religion is strong, Allah will try him with much trials and tribulations. And if his deen is weak, then he will be tried according to the weakness in his deen. So this was the answer to this question when the Sahaba, the companion, asked the Prophet, who has the worst trial? This was the answer. So therefore, ikhwan, when we look at ourselves, we can use this hadith as a Richter scale by which we can judge our closeness or our distance from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in terms of the way we're being tried in our life. There's another authentic hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهِ فِيهِ خَيْرًا يُصُبْهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. If Allah wants good for his servant, he causes him to be tried in his dunya. He does not leave him with an easy life, so that when he meets Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he has to be held accountable for what he's done. And so therefore, in order to get into Jannah, he has to be burnt so that he can be purified. Because Jannah will not accept any dirt. Jannah will not accept any najis. So you go to the hellfire to be made pure and whole so that you can enter into Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us in this other hadith that's been collected by Al-Imam Ahmad on the authority of Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الْعَبْدِ يُعْتِهِ اللَّهُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا مَا يُحِبُّ عَلَى مَعَاصِيهِ فَإِنَّهُ إِسْتِدْرَكُ. If you see the servant, if you see the Muslim, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives him from the dunya that which he loves, that which he desires, Allah opens up for him and he gives him what he wants from the dunya, the Prophet said, know for a surety, this is a trap for him. It's istidraj. Allah Ta'ala is giving him enough rope to hang itself. Allah is giving him enough rope to hang itself. And then the Prophet read the ayat in the Quran, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. And then when they forgot that which we revealed to them, the communities who went before us, when they forgot the deen that Allah sent His Messenger to them with, and they left it, they didn't pray, they didn't give sadaqah, they didn't care how they got their monies and how they got the things that they wanted, they didn't care. Allah said, when they forgot that which was given to them, we opened up for them the doors to everything. We gave them what they wanted. We made them prosperous. And then all of a sudden, when they weren't aware, we suddenly got them and we grabbed them and they weren't ready. And they weren't ready. So with that being the case, Abdullah Muslim, do not be fooled by a shaytan into thinking that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala loves you because things come to you easily. It can be a trap that you're setting for yourself. In terms of the Prophet having the most difficult trials and tribulations, when we look at the life of our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was young, he lost his mother, he lost his father, he lost his uncle, he lost his wife, he lost his grandfather, he lost his son, he lost his daughter, his companions were killed, he was hurt, hit, fought against, thrown out of his city. Can you imagine if someone came to you without any warning and he said to you, leave your house, your home, your family, and go live in Scotland without giving you the opportunity to go home to prepare for your trip. Threw you out of the place where you're used to living. He was thrown out of his place for no other reason other than he called the people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's clear when the Muslim compares himself and his trials and his tribulations, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, maybe out of some wisdom that's with him, he creates your child and your child may be deformed, or your child may be incomplete, or he causes someone from amongst your family and household to die at a time when you thought it wasn't a good time, or he causes you to lose your job, or whatever the problem may be. The mu'min who's tied with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he's connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sits there and he doesn't fret. He compares his life and that trial and that tribulation with the Messenger of Allah. And no doubt, ikhwan, if we were to do that, no doubt, if we were to compare what we are afflicted with what he was afflicted with, it would be a cause to make our lives easier. It should be a cause to make it more bearable. But if you're a person, you never read about this seerah. You don't know about what happened to the Prophet and what he did. You live far from the Qur'an. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said in the Qur'an, Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Muslims will come. And the Prophet would say about them, Rabbi, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Oh my Lord, Verily, my people made hijra away from the Qur'an. They left the Qur'an. They did not connect themselves with the Qur'an. If you were to ask the Muslim about Surah Al-Taha, tell me something that Allah Ta'ala talks about in Surah Al-Taha. He couldn't tell you what prophet is mentioned in Surah Al-Taha. Unless, of course, his name is Taha. He has an interest to read Surah Al-Taha. But other than that, he may not know. Why? Because the Muslims are in one ship, again, that's going one way, and the Qur'an is in another ship going the other way. So, Ikhwan, we have to reconnect, and we have to retie ourselves with the Qur'an. There's no excuse for the Muslim. After this, Ikhwan, the next characteristic is a very important hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because it shows us the danger of coming against the haq, of being adversaries and enemies to the haq. Many of us, upon hearing this hadith, we may automatically think about the kuffar who fight against al-Islam. But this hadith does not necessarily mean a kafir. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us that from the special characteristics of the messengers of Allah is the fact that if a man stood in front of a prophet in the past and that prophet actually killed that man because they were against one another, the prophet of course fighting to raise the kalima la ilaha illallah. And the man who was fighting against him, of course, was trying to prevent the words of Allah from being raised. The Prophet said, whoever this is his case, he will get the worst punishment, yawm al-qiyamah. إِنَّ أَشَدِّ النَّاسِ عَذَابٍ رَجُلٌ قَتَلَهُ نَبِيٌّ أَوْ قَتَلَ النَّبِيًّا. The Prophet ﷺ, when did he say this? When the Muslims fought against the Kufar of Quraysh in the Battle of Uhud. When the Muslims were winning the war, when they were obeying Allah and His Messenger, they were winning the war. And He told the archers, at no cost should you leave this mountain. Even if you see birds coming down, snatching us from the ground, do not leave this mountain. When the people who were on the mountain saw that the Muslims were gaining defeat, and the Muslims started to chase after the camels and the horses of the Kufar, and the women of the Kufar, the ones who were on the mountain, as you all know, were tricked by Shaitan and tricked by the dunya. As the Prophet said, اتقوا الدنيا واتقوا النساء فإن أول فتنة بني إسرائيل كانت في النساء. Beware of the dunya. Fear this dunya that you covet so much, that you go to any extremes to get it and acquire it, and it's fleeting, temporal. Fear the dunya and fear the woman. For verily the first fitna of Bani Israel was in the woman. Anyway, you all know that they came down, and then Khalid ibn Walid went around, and they subsequently defeated the Muslims. When the Prophet ran on Mount Uhud, the Kufar broke his tooth here. So he said to the Muslims, how can a people be successful who break the tooth of their prophet? Verily the worst man, Yawm al-Qiyamah, in terms of punishment, will be the one who was killed by the prophet, or the prophet was killed by him. So since the prophet represents the haq, and he represents what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wants on the face of the earth for His servants. Therefore, Ikhwan, whenever we as Muslims find that someone brings the truth to us, irregardless of how you feel or what you think, if someone brings the truth to us, we have to be a people who are able to humble ourselves and to accept the truth. Even if it's sour, and even if it's not good on the palate, and even if it doesn't smell in a way that is pleasing to you. We have to accept the truth whenever it comes, from ever who it comes from. You all know the hadith of Abu Huraira and the shaitan who taught him the benefits of Ayatul Kursi. So there's no one worse than shaitan, insha'Allah. So therefore, when the haq comes to you, Ya Abdullah, Muslim al-Saleh, don't be from the people who are argumentative, the people who are arrogant and haughty, who say what the kuffar say. This is why now, so many times, I go back to my family and I try to give them dawah. And they compare my life now to my life before al-Islam. A life where your mother or your father, in terms of estimation, would say my son is not going to live to reach 30 the way he's acting. Because he's either going to kill someone, or someone is going to kill him. Or someone is going to kill us because of him. So you accept Islam, and then they see you making salat and trying to give them dawah and changing your life. And they say with their own tongues, Islam must be the truth if it can change you. So you say to them, oh mother, oh father, then why don't you accept Islam? Why don't you take Islam? What is their answer? Their reply is, we found our mothers and fathers doing other than that. This is what Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالُوا إِلَى مَا أُنزِلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ قَالُوا حَسْبُنَا مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. And if it is said to them, come to that which Allah has revealed, come to the Quran and to what the Messenger is saying, come to the Sunnah, they say, we find what our fathers were doing is enough for us. My culture, this is not Islam. So Allah Ta'ala tells these people, قُلْ يَا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَسْتُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ حَتَّى لَسْتُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ حَتَّى تُقِيمُ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Saying to them, O Muhammad, saying to them, Ummah of Muhammad, O people of the book, you Jews and you Christians, you are not standing on anything. The foundation that you're standing on is nothing. You are not standing on anything until you establish the Torah and the Injil and what Allah has revealed to you. Because if you were standing on the Torah and the Injil, you were coming to Islam. So I say to the Muslims, Ya Ahl al-Islam, lestum ala shay'in hatta tuqimu al-Qur'an wa sunnah. O people of Islam, you are not standing on anything. The foundation in which you're on is nothing until you come to the Quran and the Sunnah. But how? According to my understanding? No. According to the Shaykh's understanding? Of course not. According to Shaykh Tahir's understanding? Of course not. There will be a million understandings. Look at the diversity in the people we're sitting here. We will have 1 million religions. For every person, there's a different understanding. So out of the mercy of Allah upon us, he said what? Follow the Messenger of Allah. And he gave him companions who understood what Allah revealed and what Allah wanted by this ayah and what the Prophet meant by this hadith. So now all we have to do is familiarize ourselves with how they understood those texts. For verily, as Imam Malik said, what was the religion for them is the religion for us. What made them successful would make us successful. Look at the Jews and the Christians and how all the time their religion is changing. All the time. It changes with the time. I'm talking about the fundamentals of the religion. Not that their religion adapts like our religion adapts. We know what to do when a man goes to the moon and a rocket going 2,000 miles an hour. We know how he should pray. Al-Islam adapts and conforms. But it doesn't change. We look at the Jews and the Christians 20 years ago. Ask the Christian, what do you think about homosexuality? The Christian would say that's an abomination to the Lord. Today you ask the Christian priest, the priest of the Church of England, What do you think about homosexuality? He tells you, God is love. God is true love. This is what they say. Why? Because the religion is always changing. The nun of 20 years ago dressed like a Muslim woman. Everything was covered except her face and her hands. Today, it's not uncommon to see her in short sleeve shirt, in short sleeve, in the dress that's short. It's not uncommon. Constantly changing. But Islam says, la, salat will remain the same. Az-zakat will remain the same. The siyam will remain the same. So therefore, Muslims, we say again and we reiterate, because this is so important. It is not enough for us to lip profess. It's not enough for us. Insha'Allah, as long as we die on Tawheed, believing in La ilaha illallah, Insha'Allah, we're going to go to Jannah. But still, in spite of that, who wants to burn in the hellfire and then go to Jannah? No one wants to burn. So with that being the case, Abdullah Muslim, if you want to be successful, then take the book of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, this Quran, and hold on to it with your molars. Hold on to it with your molars, as the Prophet said. For verily, we're living in a time of much ikhtilaf, too much ikhtilaf. Everyone has an opinion. And if you listen and gave yourself to every opinion, you'll find your head spinning around. So you're not going to be able to discern and know the haq from the batil, the truth from the falsehood, without knowledge, without taking the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The next very important issue, and this is connected especially for the brothers who are participating in the effort at Hyde Park in Speaker's Corner. We want you to pay attention to this fact, or that's going to come a little later. One of the special characteristics of all the prophets of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the fact that the prophets of Allah do not do like this. They do not do like this, wink their eyes. Why? The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after conquering the people of Mecca, in the ninth year of the Hijrah, when he went to Mecca, as you all know, he allowed all of his enemies of the past to go free. He said, everyone is free to go, I've forgiven everyone, except six people, four men and two women. These six people used to make poetry and talk about his wives. And they would describe their private parts. And they would accuse them of having relationships outside of marriage. So the Prophet ﷺ was a man who had ghira, jealousy. He couldn't stand for his wife to go out dressed in a way that wasn't befitting for a Muslim. He couldn't stand the sight of his wife going outside and people being given the opportunity, men who are not her son, her brother, her uncle. He would not allow another man to see his wife's neck, her ears, as some of us allow our daughters and our wives to go out like this. The Prophet was a man of ghira, and he told us what? La yashmu dayyut rahihat al-jannah. The dayyut will not smell the fragrance of paradise. Who is the dayyut? He is the man who doesn't care about what his women folk do. They come when they want to come. They leave when they want to leave. They talk to who they want to talk to. They dress the way they want to dress. They spend money. They waste money. And he's a weakling. His women have power over him. Or he may be a strong character, but he does not say anything to his daughters. He allows them to do what they want. He won't even take her to sit her down, and explain to her so that he can free himself of blame. He allows it. My culture. The dayyut allows his woman, his wife, his daughter, to shake hands with people who are not halal for her. The Prophet ﷺ said to you Muslims, لِيَنْ يَقْعَنْ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي رَأْسِهِ بِمَخِيكْ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنْ أَنْ يَمَسِمْ رَأَةٍ لَا تُحِلُ لَهُ. For one of you to be hit on your head with an iron pipe is better for you than to touch a woman who's haram for you. So how is it possible? My wife, who's from your village, or who knows you, comes to you, stings her hand, you shake her hand. It's haram, a major sin. Anyway, the Prophet ﷺ said, I forgive everyone except these six people. And if you find them hanging on to the curtain of the Kaaba, trying to seek refuge, then kill them. Even if they're hanging on to the curtain of the Kaaba. Kill all six of them, the women included. So there was a man. His name was Ibn Abi Sirh. He was one of these four men. He met up with Uthman ibn Affan. He said, oh Uthman, please intercede for me with the Prophet of Allah. He wants to kill me, and he's going to kill me. So Uthman, also being a man who had a soft heart, a kind man, he took him to the Prophet, and he said, oh Messenger of Allah, take the bay'ah from Ibn Abi Sirh. So the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't forget, Allah has given him supremacy. He conquered the place after one time being weak and oppressed. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said in the Quran, أَلَمْ يَجِدَكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. Did we not find you an orphan? And we gave you shelter? Did we not find you astray? You didn't know what revelation was? And we guided you? Did we not find you weak and oppressed when you were in Mecca? And we gave you power? And we made you self-sufficient? So he was weak in Mecca. The people threw him out, killed his companion. For nothing other than he said, oh my people, say la ilaha illallah. He didn't deserve that. So now after this, and after seeing the promise of Allah before his eyes, he let everyone go. Uthman brings the band to him. The Prophet ﷺ looked at the man. Then he looked at the people. He looked at the man. And he looked at the people. He looked at the man and he looked at the people. Then he said, then he gave him the bay'ah. Then he said to the companions, أَمَا يَكُونُ فِيكُمْ رَجُلٌ رَشِيدٌ يَقُومُ إِلَى هَذَا لَمَّا رَآنِي كَفَفْتُ يَدِي أَمْ بَيَاتِهِ فَيَقْتُلُ. Isn't there one rightly guided man from amongst you that does not stand up when he saw that I refused to give him the bay'ah and then kill him? Why didn't one of you stand up to kill a man? They said, oh Messenger of Allah, we don't know what's in your heart. Why didn't you do your eye like this? The Prophet ﷺ said, لا ينبغي للنبي أن تكون له عين خائنة أعين. It is not befitting for a prophet to wink his eye. The prophets do not wink their eye. Why don't they wink their eye? Because winking your eye implies one of two things. Either you're saying something and it's a lie. So you tell him, it's like this, and then you say to the people. Or you're joking. So this is not befitting for the messengers of Allah. Everything that comes out of their mouth is the haq. They can't afford to joke. Someone may take that joke and misunderstand it. And then as a result of that, he thinks it's revelation from Allah. So this is why when Abu Sufyan, when he was a kafir at that time, and he went to Heraclius, the Heraclius of Rome, a Byzantine, Heraclius said to him, do you people know this man Muhammad to lie? He said, no, we don't know him to be a liar from amongst us. But instead, he's Al-Amin, he's a trustworthy one. Al-Hiraql said, if he doesn't lie on the people, he's not going to lie on Allah. So if he doesn't play and joke, he's not going to play and joke in the religion, for sure. So this is one of the characteristics of Islam that show us what, Ikhwan? That the blinking of the eye in this type of manner is not from the adab of al-Islam. It's not for the men to be of the people who act like this. Unfortunately, subhanAllah, as I sit here, there's no doubt that the majority of the people in this masjid are from Asian background. When we look at the older men of this community, and your grandfather, we'll find that many of them did not know how to read and write. But in spite of that, when you see them in their countries, or when you see them in these countries here, you see that they still maintain the Islamic adab in a lot of issues. You won't find them cutting their beards off. It was a big thing for the Muslim of yesterday to cut his beard off. You won't find your grandfather going outside of the house with nothing covering his head. It's a big thing to the Muslims. Some of the imams of these madhhabs would not accept the witness of a man who walked around with his head exposed. This is considered to be a problem in his manliness. So, Ikhwan, with that being the case, I am not saying that if you leave your head uncovered, it's haram, you're making a sin. But I am saying, let us hold on and maintain our Islamic identity. How is it that people who couldn't read and write understood the importance of it, and the people who have technology and education don't know? The hearts are sick. The hearts are astray. We're astray. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us back to the Sirat al-Mustaqim in all of our affairs, inshaAllah ta'ala. The last point, inshaAllah ta'ala, concerning the special characteristics of the prophets and messengers of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's peace and blessings be upon them all, is the fact that if a person was to curse any of them, or speak ill of any of them in any shape, form, or fashion, that person is killed in Al-Islam. Any prophet, if a person says something bad about the Messenger of Allah, like Salman al-Rushdie, if people make these type of statements in Al-Islam, the ruling is that that person is taken care of. As well as the other prophets, during the time of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a